Hey everybody, we're bringing this podcast to you from the Public Land Challenge in Michigan. In this episode, we've got everybody with a tag talking with us, and we're just going to be talking about our expectations of Michigan and kind of some of the scouting steps that we took once we got here. We're going to be doing more of these podcasts throughout the week, just giving you guys updates of what's going on out here in the Mitten State. It's been raining here a lot. I'm in sandals, my feet are wet. Everybody's stuff is pretty wet except for the insides of our tents have managed to stay dry, but there was a river running under the tents last night. It's just been tough weather, so we're just gonna have to battle the elements out here and keep after it. I think the weather's supposed to break here in the next couple days, and we're gonna have some pretty cool temperatures to get out in the woods, so good luck to everybody involved in the Public Land Challenge. Before we get started, I wanna let you guys know that backcountry hunter anglers are doing some cool stuff right now. If you don't know, September is Public Lands Month, and they are celebrating public lands. If public lands are important to you like they are to us, you should join Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. BHA works every day to make sure you have access to public lands and waters and quality wildlife populations when you get there. Memberships are $25, and if you act now, you'll get a free public land owner t-shirt with your membership. All you gotta do is sign up at www.backcountryhunters.org/free PLO shirt. Also going to remind you that we have promo codes that can save you some money as you're buying new gear for the fall. If you want to save 20% on the Onyx Hunt app, you just have to use the code THP. If you need any bow accessories, we can save you 20% off of Trophy Ridge products if you use the code THP20. If you need any new trail cameras, we can save you 10% off of Exodus trail cameras with the code THP10. And finally, if you're looking to call it some deer out there, we can save you 10% off of Woodhaven calls if you use the code THP2018. You can check the description of our YouTube videos to find those promo codes again, and we appreciate all the support. Thanks for listening, guys. All right, guys, we're here at the Public Land Challenge, hiding from the rain on our first day of hunting. This is the opening day. Opening day in Michigan, October 1. It's kind of hard to wrap my head around that, but yeah. We've got Joe, Greg, Dan, Ted, and Zach here on the podcast tonight, and we've got some other guys hanging around, so if they have anything to add in.
We have some last names, too, on those guys.
Okay. So we've got Joe Rentmeester, Greg.
Oh, no.
Godfrey.
Dan Infault. Ted Zangerly and Ted Bright.
Two Teds are better than one.
So we are sitting in this camper, and it's raining a lot, and we're basically just hiding inside because we're having some really rough weather. But we're just going to kind of talk, I guess, as far... I want to talk expectation of Michigan. You know, we all know the story. And I'm about as sick of it as anybody, I think, of hearing the I don't know, whatever you want to call it, the Michigan talk. And I just want to hear your guys's, just kind of go around and first just say, like, what your expectation of what Michigan is, Michigan public land is going to be like before you got here. And then, you know, if you have anything to add as far as how that's changed already, because I definitely have some opinions on how it's changed already. Let's hear it. Start with Joe.
Sure. So for me, I guess I didn't know what to expect on it, because you hear so many different mixed reviews, you know, whether it's a booner behind every tree or not a single deer in the state. And then just driving up here, we were seeing deer all over the place. I mean, we were seeing them right along the highway, back in fields. We were seeing quite a few deer. So coming into it, I didn't know what to expect. So far, I would compare it to southeastern Wisconsin, where I'm from. I would compare it to that, actually. Well, I guess we haven't picked around enough to make an accurate evaluation of exactly what it's like. I think maybe I'll have a different opinion later in the week. But so far, from the stuff we've been doing, there's been a lot of deer, a lot of sign, mature buck sign, middle-aged buck sign, a lot of does, a lot of fawns. So far I'm impressed, you know, from the stigma that's out there about it.
Greg?
Yeah, I would say pretty much the same thing, that... I I wasn't expecting a lot. When we found out that we were coming to Michigan, I was kind of bummed, to be honest. I was like, man, you know, all I hear are bad things about hunting public land in Michigan. Everybody says it's just there's a hunter behind every tree and there's no mature deer. They're all killed. And I don't know that I can really say one way or the other yet, because opening day was today and it was a Tuesday. So a lot of folks were probably working, unlike us, who we were all getting to hang out and hunt. But a lot of people were probably working. It was really bad weather, so we didn't see any other hunters, but I don't know that that's necessarily a fair representation. I mean, if opening day had been on a 50-degree sunny Friday, it might have been a totally different story. But since it's a crappy Tuesday, you know, that might have played into it. So as we get closer to the weekend, I think I'll be able to judge the hunting pressure a little bit better. But, I mean, today we ran into no one. There was one truck that we passed that was in an area that we wanted to check out. But that was it. I mean, one truck, and we drove 2 hours and looked at 5 or 6 different public land pieces. So I was not at all stressed about people today. Again, might change as we get closer to the weekend, but so far, yeah, I agree with Joe. There's no real issues thus far.
Dan?
I went into this expecting a lot of pressure based on what I was hearing. I think just about everybody from Michigan was telling me, you know, expect massive pressure. But I was hearing mixed reviews like others, and especially leading up to the Public Land Challenge. I was hearing everything from, this place is great, don't listen to what you hear, to you can't even park a non-resident plate in a parking lot or you'll get attacked and killed and murdered. And I mean, when the variation of response was very extreme and weird. Mm-hmm. But what I'm finding is, you know, now I'm a day into this. It's you know, so take it for what it's worth. But we only seen one car in the parking lot where I went. And it was there scouting the day we scouted, and it was there the day we hunted, and he wasn't hunting where we hunted. And when I ran into the guy hunting, I said, well, where are you heading? And he goes, well, where are you heading? And I said, well, we're planning on hunting this section over here. And he looked at me like I was crazy and said, that's all water, you know. And we went in there, and where I wanted to go, I think, is extremely obvious. It's a marsh. It's a tree line going into that marsh. There's a heavy trail coming out right to the trail where everybody walks. But you got to walk through, you know, hip wader water. I went over my hip waders. But there's like one or two real obvious trees out there. And I guarantee you where I'm from in Wisconsin, they'd have had a tree stand in them. And you could tell they had never been set up. Mm-hmm. Ever. You know, in all the years of that being public land. So pressure schmesher. I mean, yeah. There's overlooked spots. And there's places where those deer are growing up. I mean, there's big old rubs in there. And if me as a non-resident can look at a few maps of some public property in northern Michigan and say, you know, this looks good, and just go there and hunt and find an overlooked spot that easy to first try, is doable. I don't care what anybody says. It's doable. You know, and that's not to say I could do that every time, but and we'll see what happens with the week, you know. Mm-hmm. I am hearing a lot of mixed reviews about how big the bucks get, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah.
You know.
Ted Z?
I would say the biggest difference for me was like, yeah, one, the pressure, but also just how much public ground there was and just how much good habitat was in it that we found. Like me and Zach spent the whole day driving around and there was just gobs of just stuff that looked like could hold lots of deer, so that'd be one thing for me.
And how many vehicles did you see?
Like 4 maybe.
I was gonna say 3.
Yeah.
We saw that hunter camp, and I think that was a small game hunter.
Yeah.
He had a dog and an orange on and a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
fits the profile.
Yeah. So any more that you have, Ted Z?
No.
Mr. Obvious.
Oh, it's a joke on me then.
Yeah, nobody else picked it up, I don't feel like.
Well, that, Yeah, you're right.
I just didn't feel it was appropriate to laugh at him.
I think that guy was small game hunting.
What were some of the clues that tipped you off on that, Zach?
All right, Ted B., what do you think?
I came into it with expectations of nothing, really, just to learn. You know, mm-hmm. That's the adventurous part of it, which is the most exciting, is to get in here and learn, you know. And it's not just about learning the deer and the terrain and such. It's about learning the hunting pressure. Mm-hmm. And everything that I can tell thus far, and I've had, you know, I got up here a little bit earlier than you guys. I've had basically two full days of scouting with a very brief morning hunt and then, you know, a real concerted effort on an evening hunt tonight. And I think I've seen three or four vehicles, and they were all in the typical spots you'd expect right off of the pavement, not even on the gravel, you
right.
know. And, you know, I could just tell that it was, you know, just exactly what you would expect and you'd see just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy to get, you know, past that. Or, you know, Jared Schaefer and I tried setting up on a buck tonight that it was quarter mile off pavement. Not, you know, is one of these overlooked spots is on a corner of public that, you know, it's just a small, I don't know, Jared, probably like a 40-acre rectangle at the very top. So, you know, it was classic overlooked spot, and, you know, we had some good sign coming and going. And then just, you know, just in general, so basically scouted yesterday afternoon and then scouted midday today, and as far as being able to get on to mature bucks, we've got two kind of pinned down. So, you know, I agree with Dan. I don't see much of a difference there. You know, a little bit of a learning curve on the terrain and the topography. And, you know, I've never hunted marshes before. And that kind of goes to show, you know, you don't have to be an expert. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, keen to your surroundings and get in there with an open mind, you know, you can get on to something.
Yeah. I like what you said about wanting to learn something, because that's the thing that I was super excited about. I know I told you guys last year when we were in Minnesota, I've never got the chance to hunt wet stuff like this, like not quite like this. And this is like, you know, today we're like fired up, like that's the stuff we need to get into, you know, like it's the best stuff. We can get way back in there. We can definitely put the legwork in. And then as far as just the Michigan like buzz, I guess for me, I think that what happens is inevitably when you got a bunch of hunters in a state, there's going to be more buzz about why it's so bad, because there's still that certain percentage of guys that probably aren't going to put in the work, and then they want to complain about it. I mean, that's the same
percentage in every state, well, which is a lot more of them.
Exactly. And unfortunately, it's just hunting culture is once that they want to find something to complain about, it seems like it. And it's unfortunate, because I feel like the opportunity is definitely there. And one thing that I noticed today that I feel like I notice in a lot of places when we make a lot of out-of-state trips early season, it's like a ghost town out there. Now, during the rut, I'm sure it's crazy. I'm sure there's people parked everywhere. But you find that in Wisconsin. You find that in Missouri. You find that in Ohio, Pennsylvania. You find that in these different states, because that's when the most people are out there hunting.
Right.
Early season, you can totally take advantage of that aspect that nobody's been in there. And you can find these pockets, even in the highest pressured areas. And I think that that's one thing that, you know, it's just like, I kind of had an expectation that it might be a little bit different, but then it wasn't any different at all. It's
well,
like, there's four trucks or three trucks or whatever we saw today, that's it.
I think there's a lot to be said for the first day being a Tuesday, and it's pouring down rain, a frog strangler, right? All day long. So that probably kept the folks that are, you know, just your average dude that lives here, you know, where I hunt in Georgia, maybe the same for you guys, but maybe not. If it's a really crappy rainy day and I'm hunting my home turf, I'm gonna be like, nah, I'll wait. I can go tomorrow when the weather's better. So
I definitely think that has a play too. But I guess with that being said, it's still like there were still times of the day where, you know, like even this evening after work, I could, at least where we were, it was sunny.
That's
know,
true.
You could have got out for sure.
Yeah.
Like, no doubt, get off at work at 5 and go out for an hour and a half or two.
You know, you were saying how the public land you've been on doesn't have that much pressure, just like here. My public land by me, there's 5-6 trucks in every parking lot opening week this year. I mean, there's people camped in the parking lots.
Yeah.
I mean, there's way more pressure than I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
The biggest difference is genetics there. I have bigger bucks.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the one thing that is eluding us. As we talk through all of our expectations and everything, is nobody has laid eyes on antlers yet, you know, to match the antler growth up with the maturity level of the buck.
I guess that's something I'm just going to throw this out there. I know in our group, like, we do not think about that at all. And yeah. I know it sounds crazy, but, like, we don't. Like, we'd literally just go to shoot bucks and, like, get some meat. Like, it's like we're shoot bucks and, like, we're not antler picky, so I guess that never really crosses.
It's just interesting to note, though, you know, because that's what everybody says around
sure.
here.
Well, my point is I think a lot of the complaining has to do with,
big
you know, they see the
too.
Size of the bucks in the pictures from Wisconsin. I mean, we have two-year-olds that make Pope and Young.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and here an adult deer might be 115.
Right.
And that might be part of the complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
it might
sense.
Be people not understanding the age structure. That's a mature animal here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know. Where I'm like you, if it's a mature animal, I'm happy with it.
Right.
You know, and in this environment here, pressure-wise, I'd be happy with just a decent rack buck. It doesn't have to be a high-scoring buck or anything else. Just an accomplishment of knock one more state down, you know?
Yeah, and, like, yep. I think another thing that, you know, I'm excited about, like Ted said, and you know, I think we all maybe feel in this group especially, it's like, we just want to go learn something new, challenge ourselves. I mean, the public land challenge is like challenging, in my opinion, just how I view it, challenging your skill set. Like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to challenge myself to learn something new. And I mean, that's the coolest part about hunting any new state, is that's what the challenge is. And at the end of the day, to me, success is just going out there and giving it a shot and getting out of your comfort zone. That's the success in it at the end of it.
Yeah, I agree. The experience is the reward, is the trophy, really.
Mm-hmm. So, moving forward, quick background on everybody's, like, mentality going into this. Were you guys looking at maps? Were you, I guess, what were your preparations beforehand? Because, like, Ted and I were like, yeah, we looked at the map now when we got in the car today. So, what's everybody's game plan there? Because I think there's a lot of different ways to do it, and I think there's a lot of different ways to do it and be successful. So it'd just be interesting to hear the differences there.
Mm-hmm. So I think for Dan and I, what we started with was looking for those typical, almost like a cattail swamp where they can't bed with the islands, where you know they're bedding. That's going to force them to bed in a certain spot, right? Because all the pressure around it, all the dry land around it is going to force all the deer into those spots. So I guess that's where we started with that. I don't know how hard we're going to keep pounding this spot. We're going to start looking at some other spots where there's more points going into tamarack swamps. We've been kind of looking at on maps where there's just a lot more stuff that's going on. It's still kind of the same thing. It's still, we're going to play the secluded oaks game a little bit. But we didn't start too hardcore. I mean, we didn't
do much planning at all. I mean,
it was like
we talked to
before.
Some people about, you know, where would be good areas around here. And really, I'm like you guys. I've been hunting solid since early September. I haven't really taken a break, and Joe just tagged out 2 days ago. So he got about 2 days into looking at maps, and my only input was, hey, look at this place. It looks good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came here, we kind of went over it. So we really didn't prep that much.
Great.
Yeah, I didn't prep at all. I did all – the first time I looked at a map was on the drive here. I was in Montana the week before hunting elk, so I was focused on that. And then, we had a venue change, right? So I had done some prep in the first place that we were looking at going. I had marked quite a few spots, but then when it changed, I didn't look at anything. This morning was the first time that I put a lot of effort into marking maps, and I marked a whole bunch of spots, and we got to check a few of them out, but. Not much prep for me. You just kind of rolled. I didn't even have my gear ready until this morning, so it was
I have no idea
kind of a disaster.
Together yet.
Yeah.
All my stuff's in the elk.
I was
pack,
all
so.
Focused on elk, and so my whitetail stuff was it was. I was on the struggle bus for sure.
I'm gonna try to steal Ernie's pack so I can make that my whitetail pack and get everything out of my elk pack.
You should steal it.
I think Ernie is dreaming about elk right now.
Did he go to sleep?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Cool. Good for him.
Yeah.
Ted, I guess I kind of covered it for us. I mean, yeah. But you speak for yourself a little bit here.
Yeah, so I found out I was hunting this about 4 or 5 days ago, and then started looking at maps a little bit from there, and talking with Zach and Aaron, just kind of going over maps from there, and marked a bunch of spots, and then that was pretty much it.
Ted?
Yeah, I did cyber scouting primarily, and I called up here and spoke to somebody at the DNR. Interestingly, nice young man, very nice young man. He asked me, "Are you part of this public land challenge?"
No kidding.
And, yeah, literally. As soon as he answered the phone, and he's like, "Well, I just figured you were. I got 2 calls on this in just a couple days." Yeah, Aaron from THP called. He pieced it all together, and so yeah, he was very helpful. You know, gave me some intel. He actually sent us some pins, and yeah, we looked at it. You know, it, mostly from an access perspective, and you know, wasn't anything specific, but. You know, what I looked for was I looked for, you know, pretty large tracts of land because I'm not familiar with the terrain. So I wanted to have a large chunk that I could, you know, do a quick tour and then hone in. And even more specific than that, I've never hunted marshes before. So I was looking for, you know, there's not really any land around here without marshes. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for some elevational topography around those marshes. And that has, you know, relatively panned out. You know, we were able to get onto some hill-style buck bedding today that's, you know, it's adjacent to a marsh, but it was your, you know, your classic prototypical hill country mature buck bedding. And then the other one we got on was just an overlooked spot right next to the food source. But mm-hmm. So I was kind of keying in on that. And, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, early. Remains to be seen.
Guess next step then, like for us today, kind of, you know, we didn't really look at the map. We hop in the car and I was like, well, I guess I should pull up on X, hey? Like, he shows me some direction that we wanted to go. We kind of picked a route, and what we did with that route, you know, we're in the car, so what we're doing with that route is we're looking at the habitat in those pieces as we work our way to kind of some main destination points. So like, every time we hit public, we would look at the vegetation type and the terrain type and say, okay, now when we're looking at the map and we see this on the map, that's what we see. And that's kind of what we always do when we get to a state. It's like cover ground, and that's helped us all out a lot over the years. You know, we won't dive into stories, but like just covering that ground and driving and being able to put, you know, a visual with the visual on the map.
Confirmation.
Yeah, and just keep covering that ground, and then we hit some big pieces that we're like, okay, we can really, like, we have a lot of, you know, more, within this bigger area, we have more potential areas that we'd want to get in and actually scout, clarify that that's what we wanted to see, and then, you know, kind of just worked our way back from camp from there, and, you know, mark deer trails, you mark some deer that you see as you go. We're looking at tracks on the road, just seeing if there's fresh tracks on those gravel roads, stuff like that. I mean, learned a lot in Alabama doing the same thing last year. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that really had a play in us having encounters and stuff like that. What, when you guys got here post, you know, doing any, like, however much map scouting you did or none, like, what was the first thing you guys do from there? Joe?
We just went right to the spot that we were looking at on the map, and we were just going to walk the transition line of where the swamp met up to the fields. When we started doing that, does started popping out of the swamp right away, so we kind of backed off a little bit. But the little bit of walking we did do, we cut a lot of tracks coming out. One big track that was kind of walking down that, whatever you call it.
Transition?
Dike,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So just walking those transition lines, walking those edges, right?
Kind of a, I mean, it's just, I mean, Ted and I just talked about doing all this stuff, you know, doing this all day, like in depth, like throughout the whole day, just sitting in the car together. But it's like, kind of that, like, you're scouting, and you're in-season scouting, but you're doing it at a distance that, like, is just safe enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Low impact. Yeah.
And that's, like, what's, I think, it's hard for people to kind of grasp that concept. It's like, you don't have to go right into the heart of it, but, you know, every situation's different, but if you just kind of hug that, you flirt that line of like, okay, I'm far enough that I'm not going to mess anything up, but I'm close enough that I also can tell exactly where I need to dive into this piece, mm-hmm. I think is super important.
And like for us, even on that dike, I think that's a dike that people just walk all the time. It's just like a hiking trail.
Oh.
And it, remember when that one doe popped out of the swamp right on top of the dike and just stood there? It's kind of that same, it paints that same image of when you're walking down a hiking trail and a deer hits that trail. It's just a little different thing for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they expect us to be, they expect that human scent there.
Yeah.
But we could walk all the way up and down that dike
mm-hmm.
and look into the swamp and decide where to go with eyeballs instead of the map and kind of compare to what we've seen to the map.
Yeah.
And then look at the tracks coming out of the trails and confirm what we were thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So that's a common theme. Everybody is the correlation between what you see on the map and then what you lay your eyes on the terrain.
You mean in an area that you don't know, man. Yeah. Like you have no reference there. We kept using the term baseline reference. Having that baseline reference of like, okay, what's enough sign to go in and set up on? What's a reference of what the vegetation looks like when I'm looking at this on the map? What is this tree? What is that? You know, is that cattails? Is that just straight up water? What, you know, what is that?
And I think we were totally fooled on, mm-hmm. on ours because on a map we thought it was all cattails. And it was phragmites that are 15, 20 feet high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it really altered how the deer were traveling. And phragmites grow in deeper water. The water is hip to chest deep, you know. Yep. So it was a whole different thing. That forced those deer to be on those strips of trees, the higher ground. And it's really funnels. It made that particular piece real easy to read and hunt in certain ways. In other ways, I mean, it was really thick trying to get in there and hunt and deep, but...
Yep. And I expected some muddy stuff, right, where your legs and knees burn when you're done. But I don't know if it was this way by you, but it was up to your knees or up to your hips, but the ground was solid. It was like you were walking on concrete on the bottom.
Yeah, I had like an inch of mud. That was it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was all solid water.
Yeah, that was kind of nice, actually.
All right. For those that are listening that don't know, phragmites is a genus of four species of large perennial grasses found in wetlands throughout temperate and tropical regions of the world.
Dude, can you just be on every podcast as the guy that just throws in quick facts like that?
Well, there's a lot of people that don't know that.
He's trying to steal that scientist title.
Yeah, he is. Oh, man.
So, well, I must admit, I did not know that. So,
look it up. It kind of just looks like, I don't know, I've always compared it to like a... it's like a cane type grass. Like it's just like a tall.
You can't walk like cattails. You can walk through it quietly and slowly and get away with it. Those, they snap like a tree branch when you walk through
it.
So you cannot walk through it and expect to get away with it.
Hmm. Yeah, I have not seen
very many.
The deer
can't get the racks through that stuff either.
Yeah.
Not when it's thick. Yeah.
I have not seen that many cattails.
We saw a fair amount, but not a ton. Nothing where it was like what I've seen in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Where you see that huge sea.
Greg, have you guys found that? Yeah.
you guys could have seen Dan's face on that.
Priceless.
Yeah, it would have added a lot more enjoyment to your listening experience. Greg, when you got here, what was the first thing that you did? Like, what's your next move?
So one of the first things we wanted to do was kind of narrow down the types of terrain that we were going to key in on. Because you have everything here. You have some hill country. You have some swamps, you have some ag, you kind of have a little bit of everything here. And we picked out four or five different properties that we wanted to, or parcels that we wanted to look at, and I wanted to try to figure out what I wanted to key in on. So we looked at some ag stuff today. I wanted to see if they were using the, you know, we walked some of the edges to see if we could see heavy trails going in and out of the ag from public to private. We walked,
did
like
you
I
see
said,
much in that? Just curious.
We did. Yeah, we found one piece right off the road. Kind of one of those overlooked pieces where most people are going to walk right past it and go into this beautiful bean field in the back. Well, there was a cornfield right in the front corner, and it was just getting hammered. And we thought, oh, man, this is most people would walk right past it. So we pinned that one to come back and check. But that was really what I was hoping to accomplish today was, one, get a feel for pressure. How many trucks are in the areas where we wanted to park, and then taking a look at the different types of terrain, and maybe pick one or two that we wanted to focus on. I'm not where I hunt; it's all swamps, but it's different types of swamps than what Dan and some of the Midwestern guys hunt. I mean, mine are on river bottom swamps is a totally different type of swamp. So
sure.
I'm not familiar with the swamp hunting. Like Ted said, he's never hunted in this wet stuff. I really hadn't either. So I'm not all that familiar with it. I'm a little bit more comfortable hunting in more of like an ag or a hill type, mm-hmm. hill country type scenario. So I was hoping that we could find a couple places like that to key in on, but the two that we went to were just kind of meh. So I think tomorrow I'm gonna switch strategies and go look at some of this more swampy type stuff.
Yeah. Cool. How long are we at this point? Does it say on there?
We're at 30 minutes.
Okay. Just curious. How's everybody feeling at this point? Everybody feeling good? Feeling like conversation's going well?
I do.
All right. Okay. I just wasn't sure because typically I'm looking at that.
Yeah.
Means it's going well, I guess.
Yeah. So, moving forward, do you guys feel like what you learned in the, you know, looking at the map and then putting some eyeballs on what your, you know, expectation was of the place, do you feel like you've got a good start, or do you feel like you're going to keep switching gears, or do you feel like you're going to just try to get more spots to target? I know, and I guess the reason I ask is because I feel like last year you guys kind of stuck to the same area and stage hunted, and a lot of times when I've hunted different states, I'm just like, here, and that's just always almost what I do. Now, I will go back and revisit places, but I just cover, like, I just kind of dive into it and spook a lot doing that, but...
I feel like that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep bouncing around until I bump into something that is just... I was telling... Ted and even Dan earlier that nothing that I saw today just got me excited. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm just going to keep bouncing around until I find something that screams, hey, bro, drop what you're doing and climb a tree now.
Sure.
That's what I'm looking for. And when I find it, I'll find it.
Yeah.
Might take me 4 days, but.
Joe?
I forget what I was going to say. well, you listed off three scenarios, and pretty much all three of them. Now, last year, when you said we dove into one piece and we just kept hopping around.
That was that, after you had eliminated a ton.
Correct,
yep. I should have clarified that. I should have mentioned that.
But that, so,
hey,
quick
question. Was it the first week in October when you guys were up there last year?
No.
Last September. Week in September?
Last week in September.
Last week, middle September.
It was opening week.
Okay.
September.
Yeah. But that piece was so big that we could keep hopping around, and there was big sign in there. I mean, big rubs, big tall rubs, big tracks. It was just we knew we would run into them. It was just a matter of hopping around until we did. Now, like this swamp we're in currently, we'll probably get one more sit out of it before it's burned. If not, maybe we burned it already. I think it's worth one more sit, and then we have to hop around at this point, look at other stuff.
So when I look at that, I look at, like, I'm going to move around until I find an animal, and then I'm going to hunt them down, you know, and I have a little bit different perspective of last year than Joe. We hit pieces until we found sign of a big animal. And then that was a huge area, I mean, like Joe said. But we narrowed it down and just moved in on that animal. So, I mean, if we're moving around and we find big sign, I mean, we'll shift gears, move to it. And I do kind of want to shift gears, but Joe's right. There's one more sit that needs to be done in that spot. We know there's an animal in there we're shooting,
mm-hmm.
and it's a pretty small area. And considering where we've hunted, I can expect where it's going to show up, as Joe can too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does need one more sit. But I think I'd like to go try some swamps that are adjacent to acorns. I mean, we don't have acorns where we're at, and I think that's probably a big key right now.
Mm-hmm. Based off of how much they were banging into the tents last night, I'd
exactly,
say there's a pretty
yeah.
good chance.
Yep.
Yeah. Ted?
Yeah, I'm not sure what exactly we're going to target yet. I mean, tomorrow I think we're going to go look at some ag stuff with maybe some acorns and stuff.
Talk real quick about what you said, like, has been, like, the biggest thing when we were sitting there eating lunch today.
Yeah.
Talk about that, because okay. I feel like that's gonna, that's kind of, like, what the answer that I was looking for.
All right. So pretty much we were sitting there, and I was like, the biggest thing I've learned is, like, the fresh sign, you have to be hunting fresh sign all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, if you consistently put yourself, consistently sit where there's fresh sign and just keep putting yourself in those situations, then something's going to work out. Mm-hmm. And I just think you know, instead of like just picking an area on the map without knowing for sure that
without like, doing that long range,
yeah,
that,
without like even like going around and seeing tracks even or something to say, okay, yeah, there is deer in here, and the, yeah, like there is a buck in here that's I'm wanting to go after or whatever, then then move in on it, you know.
You said something that really impressed me earlier. I asked you how you were doing, and you said that that you haven't even hunted. You've just been scouting.
Yeah.
And I think that's key. If you're not onto something, just keep looking. And I think that's impressive that with the limited amount of days we have here, that you're willing to put that time in and search for that fresh sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my plan at this point. It's just until I find something that I think's worth my time, then I'm not going to just go in somewhere without, you know.
Yeah, getting 3 or 4 hours more scouting in is more important than sitting on dead sign.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what we were talking about today.
It's what we just feel.
We're getting fired up, right?
I mean, it's just been a thing that, like, in my experience, it's like I got buddies and stuff. It's like you watch a buddy and it's just like, dude, you're just going in there to hunt. You're just going in there to get
you think you have to.
Yeah, you're just going to sit. And you don't
doesn't make any sense.
Dude, you're better off walking in and blowing a buck out of there because you learned something. That's my opinion, I guess.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're just hunting to say you went hunting.
Yeah, literally. And, like, you don't – I mean, if it makes you feel better, knock an arrow when you go scouting.
When we were hunting in Missouri last week, I was telling Dylan and Grant, like, we kept hunting mornings, and I'm like, there's nothing really that's telling me I should sit a morning. I feel like I should get up at daylight and start scouting all day, and then I have spots in the evening that I think, okay, this is worth my time in the evening based on the sign.
I like to get out there, like, maybe sit for, like, 30 minutes or glass for the first 30 minutes, hour, and then start scouting. That's what I, like, that's my favorite thing to do as far as, like, and I'm impatient, so I don't like to set up if I don't have to. I'm, like, the opposite. It's like I may even make sense to go set up, and I'll be like, yeah, I'll just keep moving around. But, like, you know, I just, for me, like you said something that makes a lot of sense to me. It's like when I hunt and I'm scouting like that, it's like I'm always still hunting, making, you know, going easy, trying to still shoot something if the opportunity is there. But then it's like when you find it, there's a time when you find it, man, and there's the, like, you've got the baseline of, like, pretty good sign in your area, but then you find, like, max sign. And that's when I'm like, all right, time to park it.
Yeah.
You find that what I call max sign, or the hottest, freshest, biggest, you know there's one in there that you want to shoot type sign. Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
And if you've been hunting for more than a minute, everybody has come up on that and gone,
whoa,
man, that buck was just in here, and he's probably right over there. I'm hunting now. You know, that's the kind of spot that I'm looking for now.
We had that today. You could still smell him.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, early October, so it, you know, it wasn't that pungent November tarsal smell, but it was buck. There. It was definitely
there. The struggle is when you're following that sign back, at what point are you at the timing of that thing moving in daylight?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like what Joe struggled with today. I mean, a little too far, and I think Joe was really close to killing a good buck tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just a matter of a few steps, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, that I never mentioned, the way that those deer, there were a few other beds in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
There were a few other beds in the back, too, and the way that those deer were all laying, they were set up, there was a main trail that went into that red brush, and those deer were all set up in beds that anything coming down that main trail, they would smell it before they could even see it with that prevailing west wind, right? Prevailing west wind. And it was pretty smart the way that they were set up. You'd really that deer had it set up pretty darn good.
I think part of what got you is the whole thing that was brought up earlier about the stigma of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were thinking you had to be deep.
Deep, uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, we had that conversation before going out there, and you kept saying, I think we've got to get way back there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe we should just stage hunt in.
Yeah.
And
one thing Ted and I talked about is it being early. Like, there is, in my experience, a little bit more potential for them to be close because they haven't been bumped yet.
Right.
You know, maybe tomorrow now he will be in that deepest hole. But today he was, you know, today he was kind of caught off guard because, hell, he hadn't been hunted.
And right. We did have a hint. I mean, we had to scout in the day before. Those deer were walking out an hour before dark, and it's like nobody's been in there setting up tree stands if you're doing that.
Right, right. Yeah. And you guys ran into the same thing in Minnesota last year, right? In the hills, you guys started diving back on these points thick stuff, and you'd come into the crop fields after hunting or whatever, and here's 2.5, 3.5-year-old buck standing out in the fields.
Yeah, or right? bigger, yeah.
You guys saw a dandy doing that, right? Was, on your way back?
There was a, well.
Skylighted?
So, no, that wasn't us. That was Garrett. But Jake and I, we were, we were basically going too deep. I mean, our buddy Alex, he went and he hunted like 200 yards from the parking lot just observing. And, like, saw a mature buck come out of in daylight and just stayed out of range. Came out into the field. And it's like, when it's opener like that, I think that they're just kind of doing dumb buck stuff. Like, they're just, like, not getting to their most secure beds yet because they haven't felt that pressure quite yet. You know, they know that it's coming, but then as soon as they get bumped a couple times, I don't think it takes much for them to get in the deepest hole, but...
Yeah, yeah, for I think a lot for of people, few days. Go ahead, Dan.
A lot of people overlooked that opening day type scenario. I mean, they don't think of that as much. But really, opening day is probably, or opening weekend is probably one of your best times to kill a big buck.
Mm-hmm.
Catch them off guard before they know what's going on.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, yeah, I don't even know. It's opening day. So the challenge really right now, as I see it, is the food source, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, the red oaks are dropping, but there's also a lot of ag around. So, you know, you got to find where they're feeding and then, you know, draw the lines.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how Jared and I were able to get onto that buck tonight. Of course, that doe wouldn't have anything to do with it, but that's why he was there. No doubt about it. There's a winter wheat field with some clover sprinkled in, and we've got his tracks coming and going with the obvious bedding just on the other side of the public land. And we were set up good on him. The doe that blew at us 30 times said otherwise.
All right, so expectations for tomorrow, and then we'll wrap her up.
We're going to kill a booner.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
All right. I'm just looking to find something that gets me excited, really. I don't have real high expectations for tomorrow. The weather's supposed to be bad. It's supposed to be just like it is right now, storming all day. So I'm not going to go in and kill myself for it. So we're gonna try to hunt or scout smart tomorrow and try to cross off some more ground like we did today, and then keep searching for hot sign.
Damn.
Oh, my expectations aren't as high as they should be because of all the rain.
Yeah.
But I go into every hunt with high expectations, believing I'm gonna kill something, and tomorrow or the next day ain't gonna be any different.
Cool. Ted.
Yeah, I'm expecting to dive into some areas and hopefully find some fresh sign.
Awesome. Ted.
Yeah, this morning I got up at 4:30 and went in and took a tip from Dan and tried setting up over a bed. To no avail, and then I just scouted all day until the evening setup. Tomorrow, I don't know. It's almost midnight now. I don't know if I'm going to do that 4 a.m. again and try to set up over a bed. Probably just, you know, get up at 6 and scout all day and go kill them in the evening.
Cool. Well, my expectation is we're going to be wet in that tent. So I feel like I may. There's a decent chance I'll wake up, like, under this couch or something. And then, keep after him.
So for all the listeners out there, Zach is in a little bivy that is in a trench. Probably, did you stake it down?
It's staked down. I mean, it worked in Colorado in these crazy rainstorms, so we'll see. But this one's a little bit different considering there's a river on the ground. But yeah, we'll see.
It's probably already floated away now. Your tent's probably half a mile down the campsite.
Yeah. They're calling for 1 to 2 inches, and we've already got 4, I think.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that my stuff's dry, or I'm going to just be doing some weird sleeping stuff. But we'll figure it out.
You can scout around the laundromat tomorrow while your stuff dries.
Yeah, definitely going to be doing that. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed it. We'll be having some more Public Land Challenge podcasts coming up, so So, yeah, keep listening because that helps things. Catch you on the next one.